Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, let go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Yes, it's a good Thursday because Ja Morant answered the call again. You just heard it. 114-113 over the Phoenix Suns. Thank God for Ja Morant saving the day again. It was a good game in many ways for the Memphis Grizzlies because you wanted to see more out of some guys, and I think for some you did. I speak of one specifically, Santi Aldama. Appreciate you, Santi. Good game. Cedric Coward continues to impress. A lot to be happy about. Because the Grizzlies, we said they had to tread water while Zach Edey was out. You're 3-2 with the Lakers coming up on Friday. And obviously this is not your usual Lakers team. So it feels like, John, you've gotten off to what looked like it could be an opportune start against an easier schedule. And here you are, 3-2. Took some misses. Devin Booker, yeah, nice. We'll take it.
Yeah, that was a wild ending last night. Did not expect it to be maybe so contested, that game, without, you know, Jalen Green. No Jalen Green last night. But, you know, it is the NBA, and games like that happen all the time. And the only thing that matters is that, you know, you had the best player on the floor at the end of the game, and that was Ja Morant, 28-8-7 in 32 minutes last night, including a game winner. There's a lot to get to in this game. There's good and there's bad. But it was a win, and so it's important to start with the good. There is no question about that. We have a packed show today. Trista Crick is going to join us at 11:30 or so. We'll talk to her about all of this, you know, because one thing about Trista, she's a content creator, and being a content creator, you know, it requires you to break through, and you don't break through by, you know, nuance, unfortunately. You break through by saying things that are quite controversial. And earlier this week, it was actually poor timing for her. She had a, here are five players that should be traded right now. And number one on her list was Ja Morant. And I think last night is the exact reason why the Grizzlies will never trade Ja Morant if they can help it. I mean, if Ja Morant demands a trade or else he'll retire or something like that, you got to do what you got to do. But they will not be trading Ja Morant on their own volition, because he is the only guy that they have that can do that. That's it. And so anyway, she will join us. Will she repent? Will she atone? I don't know. We're going to have to find out. So Trista Crick is going to join us at 11:25. Drew Hill is going to join us at 12:25. We'll get his thoughts on this game, the season for the Grizz. They're now 3-2. Like you said, they got a very winnable game on Friday against these Lakers. I say winnable. I don't know. I mean, they just don't stop. They can't stop winning.
Yeah. Austin Reeves on one.
Yeah. They win last night. A game winner from him. 116-115 over the Wolves. They're 3-2.
Return of LaRavia.
Did you see at the free throw line, a fan asked, who is number 12 for the Lakers?
Yes, I did.
And Anthony Edwards said, that's what we're trying to find out.
Well, Anthony Edwards should know by now.
He should know.
And he should certainly know after last night.
Yes. Jake LaRavia gave you a 27-8.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is going on with these Lakers, man? Anyway, we'll get into all of that with Drew Hill at 12:25. Then at 1:25, Bennett Doyle is going to be here in studio. He and I were texting a little bit late last night. You know, hey, 9 o'clock tips, you know, late finishes. Everybody can't do them. You know, everybody can't do them. But I do know that those who, even if they can't do them, they will be up at the crack of dawn finding the pertinent information, which we're going to get to here momentarily. All right, Grizz win over the Phoenix Suns, which, as we talked about, double victory for the Grizzlies.
No doubt.
Had to have it. Had to have it. 114-113, Grizz 3-2, Suns 1-4. I don't know if they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league, but they are right now. And I think that's why, Jason, most importantly, I think that's the bigger one here, right? It's like, oh, how good are the Grizzlies? You know, we have a long season to figure that out. If the Suns continue at this pace, Grizz are going to be sitting pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, long season, but you like what you see so far from the Suns. I mean, like you said, you know, you didn't want that game to get that hairy, but road games against Western Conference opponents, and sometimes dogs do.
Yep.
And you said it. I mean, there's no Jalen Green, hadn't been all season. Dylan Brooks is out. He's sitting there having to watch that, watch his guy, you know, his replacements, the young guys, Cedric Howard, Jalen Wells out there. It's one of the few times you've beat him since he's left. Actually, I think Drew had that record. Like, he's 6-2. Now, a lot of Rockets,
wow,
and they were a good team. But he had to sit there and watch that. Back to the point, right now it doesn't look good. Mark Williams was good like we thought he is, but here that guy's always battled injury issues. So yes, the idea that he's going to be able to do that all season, probably far-fetched.
Yep.
And so, yeah, you like what you see. Listen, long season, but we're going to be pulling for that from the Suns all season long. You should be. And so from that standpoint, yes, good. We said going into the game, chance to get two victories, and you do. I go back to Ja because right now he's lifting up a team that is goes beyond shorthanded. You know, you're still trying to figure out who can be a part of this rotation. And guys like Cam Spencer are saying, me.
Yep.
You know, you're seeing guys step up into these much-needed rotation spots right now. You're so shorthanded with guys out, and that's been good to see. But if you don't have 12, to go back to your point, you know, you're what's the record right now? You're below 500. You're not treading water. And so in a lot of ways, and the man's played every game so far this season.
Every game.
A lot of ways, you're asking everything right now of Ja Morant, who, I'll be honest, I would think would be getting a little bit more help from his number two right now, Jaren Jackson Jr. So thank God for Ja Morant last night, because you saw the Jaren turnover there in the end could have cost you. Ja bails you out. And I would point to Santi Aldama, because, listen, after that Golden State game, he gets pulled down, right? We talked a lot about Jaren and not responding to Draymond, but Santi's the one they pulled down. Santi's been a guy we've looked at when he doesn't have Espanol on his chest.
Yep.
Play a little soft. I heard you talking about it. Finesse big, right? Important for him to have the game that he did, 14, 10, and 5. He was added three steals to it, too.
Yeah.
I thought important response from him. He was even mean mugging Phoenix a little bit. I need him to have a swagger. You know, maybe it's not – Santi's never going to be some tough big. It doesn't
feel
that way.
It's like a Spanish
swagger.
But
I need confidence. I need that España swagger, and it seemed to be back last night. Somebody got to step up and help Ja.
Well, that's exactly right. You're right. I think we have a new number two with the Grizzlies, and his name is Cedric Coward.
You go to the extreme, but you go right ahead.
He has looked
– you've gone from one end of the spectrum to the other on Coward, so
that's
let's
right.
hear you.
It's a pendulum.
Now he's the number two.
I think I trust him more than Jaren Jackson Jr. right now, if we're going to be honest. And that's the sad part, because as much of this year was an investment in a doubling down in Ja Morant, it was probably more so in Jaren Jackson Jr. because you're about to pay that man $50 million next year. I mean, we've talked about this. Like, the consecutive outings for him are absolutely diabolical in terms of timing, right? Because you have the getting punked by Draymond Green in that last game against the Warriors, and then he got punked by Mark Williams. I mean, there's no way around that. Mark Williams was absolutely killing him. He rips the ball from him there late, and then Jaren's on the floor as the Suns get back, and Mark Williams gets the go-ahead bucket. I mean, that's unacceptable from him, quite honestly. He's got to figure it out. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know what if his equilibrium is off or what, but like, he is so far out of the game right now that he needs to spend the next couple days getting back into it. But again, thankfully, Ja Morant made the shot, therefore it's not the main story. Mm-hmm. But that's a story. That's developing in front of us right now. Jaren Jackson Jr.'s I don't know if it's I don't know if it's regression. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but like the failure to be it what seems like the Grizzlies need him to be in 2025.
Yeah, I mean it's early, but I feel like this is fair because the expectation level for him has gone up. As you say, you get to renegotiate and extend. You're at 35 this year, 10 more million than Draymond, and you're going to 49, then 50, and your big boy money. And so the expectations go up for you. It's not time to sit here and make excuses. I get what you're saying. Right now, it's good, again, that Ja is pulling you through. Keep in mind, you're coming off of a preseason injury. I know he had the toe in the offseason. I know he had two preseason games. You'd want to see more. You're also in an offense that's new. And, listen, Jaren in a lot of ways became the number one option last year. Mm-hmm. And he had one of his best offensive seasons. You can argue, his best. In being that guy, it ain't coming to him like that anymore behind Ja in that way. He's got to find that in this Isolo system.
Right.
No excuses. Step up and be the two.
Yeah.
But it is new for him in some ways.
Yeah, well, okay? It doesn't. It was
all, this
it was,
offense is new.
It was good for him when it was all for him.
Right.
And it's not good for him when it's not for
that's
him.
That's the point I'm making. Yeah. He's got to do it as the two. It's what you asked of Dylan Brooks when you were asking him to do.
Yep.
To be efficient with less.
Yep.
That you've increased Jaren's role, you're doing it in a new system. The role's increased because there's not a big three anymore. There's a big two.
Yep.
So now you got to be the two at least every night. Hell, some nights you should be carrying them.
I mean,
with what they're being, you should be
help.
The one.
It would help.
You're trying to get you're trying to help your guy play, 65 plus here.
Right.
That's one thing you can do, is take a little bit of the load.
Yes.
Forget a little bit. Take it all. And that's been unfortunate. You just haven't seen him as aggressive as you'd want to see him. But I ain't writing off Jaren and saying this is a disappointing start for him. But he's got too many tools to sit here and think we're going to get this all season long. It's going
to
get better.
I hope so. It has to. It has to. Otherwise, I think you start looking at alternatives. I mean, if it's just going to be 18-6, I mean, that's just not enough for what you're
getting. Six
is
what he is. You're not right. Six is what he is. It's what he's been for his career.
Right.
We're in year eight. Asking for more than that just because he's being paid more for him to go to a 12-13 rebound a game guy, not going to happen.
Yeah, well, that's probably true.
And they seem fine with that because they paid him.
Yes. I mean, there's no doubt. But it's like if I'm going to be paying my guy, $50 million, I got to have better than the 18th defense in the NBA. I mean, I'm not getting Defensive Player of the Year Jaren Jackson Jr. anymore. Like, I got to get that back.
I mean, he had a six-block game. He had five in a third quarter. They turned it around. I get what you're saying. It's five games in.
Yeah, it is. It is.
He has to do more.
I'm just reacting
Point
to
made.
The sample that we got.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he has to do more.
I hope it gets better. My optimism, I think, is less than yours, but that's fine. But what we do agree is that when you have John Morant on that court, you got a chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a perfect example. And the only question really is, can he be on the floor? And he's done that. He's played, the entire season so far.
Yeah.
And so we don't expect him to play 82 games, but if he can play even 65, 70 games, like that will put you and keep you in the mix. It's when we start going from 65 to 70, and I think that's what's becoming painfully obvious, that if we get another 50-game season from Ja, no reason to think we will, but that risk exists.
Yeah.
This team is probably not going to be able to survive that.
Well, I think he's adjusted some. Harrington was talking about that this morning. We're all watching him. It doesn't feel like he's attacking it recklessly, the basket, in the same way. You go into those pull-ups that we loved early in his career, those floaters, and he's playing with the ankle braces on. All that said, right, you'd say, okay, be careful, right? We've always said adjust your style a bit. Maybe you don't take as many chances. He's your second leading rebounder last night.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So here's what I'm trying to say. We're asking Ja to maybe take a little bit off, take a little bit of the edge off, so that you can play a whole season. If there's something that you can do on the court, again, if it's trying to dunk on Lou Dort in that situation in the playoffs, not doing it right there, just so you can stay on the floor, and yet you're still getting. Maybe it's not the guy that's dunking all over everybody every single night. I think that's a good thing. He's finding his way to get to his spots. To still be effective, did you hear, Drew's got the stat, we'll talk to him at 12:25. He's got more game winners now, or he's second since 2019 to Jason Tatum. I think it's 19. Like, he's still finding a way to get that done, playing what feels like a little bit less aggressively, but still as effectively and efficiently. And he did that last, so, hey, I mean,
you know, you just want to see this for 65 plus.
Yep.
It's great that we've gotten it the first five games.
Yes. Yeah.
He's averaged 51 games a season.
Right.
So I don't, you know, these little adjustments, what I hope they add up to jobbing out there. I'll tell you again, something that's going to help with that is Jaren Jackson Jr. stepping up on some nights and taking the load, being a 31-10. Well, you ain't got to do it every night. We know that's not you, but you've got, look at what this guy's. He was your second leading rebounder. If I'm Jaren, I'm like, damn, right, dude. Ja's going out there and getting eight.
Yeah,
I got to step it up.
Yeah.
So now kudos to Ja, because right now we said it. He's wanted this. He said it with Nike. I know it's a campaign, but he said he wanted this to be a takeoff year. You're looking at the rest of this roster and you're asking, can Ja take off in this year? So far, so good. Again, this is a guy that is making a subpar roster that's banged up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a formidable outfit in the sense that, okay, yeah. 3-2. You know, you've handled a couple of these. You've handled a couple of these situations well down the stretch. It's good to see.
Yeah,
I mean, you couldn't have weathered. Really, the take should be, you couldn't have asked for a better start with what you had to start with.
Right.
Yes, Jaren individually could be better. Maybe some of these games aren't as close. But let's be real. You ain't some top four, top six seed either right now.
Right.
As currently constructed.
Yeah. I think the only game that, I mean, you could have beat the Heat, right? You could have said you should have won that game at home as a favorite.
The Heat are rolling, dude.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of, like, in that moment, Grizz were favored. It could have been better if they had just won that. Outside of that, I mean, they've done what they're supposed to do outside of that game.
Yeah, I think the response to the Heat game is why I'm fine with that.
Yeah, they beat the
Heat.
Ja
said, flush it.
Yep.
Right? And you come back the next night on that second night, Ja playing.
Yep.
And you had a hell of an effort.
No, and that was not a guaranteed win by any means against the Pacers. I mean, they were winless at that time.
And let's be real, too. I mean, that's what Heat culture does. You write it off, it comes back and hits you over the head with it. And that's kind of what they've done early on this season. With Tyler Hero out, we all expected them slow start. They're playing great.
They are definitely like they're scoring points.
Salute them.
Yeah. Like you're used to the Heat being like a team that averages like 95 a game. They got like 146, 115, 144.
Freaking Norman Powell.
Yep. Now, he's changed a lot for them. He has.
I know he's averaging over 20. He's got to be. I mean, and he did that for the Clippers last year. They're missing him.
He's damn near their go-to guy at this point in the season. So, yeah, listen, they're 3-2. You would take a 3-2 pace until gets back, until Jerome gets back.
And if you got a chance against a shorthanded Lakers squad, I know Austin Reeves playing well, but no LeBron, no Luka, to go to 4-2.
Absolutely.
John, I mean, that's what we're if I told you 4-2 to get off to this start, as banged up as they were, that'd be the A. That'd be what we're hitting.
Be best case scenario.
No question about it. And we'd say that, wow, that's a great way to get off to what could be, you know, a much needed good start. Because if you look at that schedule, John, it's about to turn up.
Yep.
So if you get to 4-2, I think it's Toronto on the road after that on that Sunday. You got a Sunday, Monday, back-to-back Detroit after that. You get two wins there. You love this start because it's about to get really tough.
No, it is. But it's also
Thank
been
goodness
fun.
They pulled it out.
Yeah, I mean, like, John Morant hitting game winners. Like, that's that's like the same as it ever was, man. And that just goes to show you, like, the Suns are a bad team because they allowed Grayson Allen to be one-on-one with John Morant. I know it was transition, but my goodness, man.
Couldn't have no defense for him.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't know that they had.
It would have been Dylan out there, you know.
For sure.
Trying to, at least.
But, I mean, that's what bad teams do, right? They somehow find a way to have Grayson Allen, of all people, guarding John Morant on a game-winning opportunity. Like, that was food for him. So
yeah, it was a mess. When you get Booker, I mean, you get not Booker, you get Dylan Brooks back, and you get Jalen Green. We'll see what it looks like, but it did. It looked like something that will be a mess all season.
And that was with Devin Booker having a pretty damn good game. Yeah. I mean, he went off in the second half.
Yeah.
So I mean, I just don't know how much else they really have. Like you said, we'll see how Jalen Green changes the dynamic. We know Dylan will not add much offense to this.
I don't know how Jalen and Devin are going to coexist.
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate question. You know, and Kyle Gillespie's playing well for them. So, like, when that dynamic changes, like, is it going to be sweet? Is it going to be smooth? I don't know. I doubt it, bro. I don't think this is a team that has the personality that can adjust to things like that. I'm hoping not. Magic also 1-4.
Yes.
I don't think that's a bad start.
I don't know.
Is that a thing? I don't know. Like, they look bad, dude.
I didn't want to overreact early, but it's not getting better very quickly.
They got handled by Detroit last night as two and a half point favorites. And it's like, you know, you keep expecting this effort. Like, all right, they're going to finally, like, like Ja would say, flush all of this down the toilet, and they're going to come out with an amazing effort, and it just has not happened. Their defense has regressed.
Failed them. That's one thing. I know KCP wasn't hitting shots for them, but you subtract KCP, you bring in Desmond Bain, you go down defensively, don't you?
Yep. Yep. It seems like that's certainly – I mean, they play a different way now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just do.
Gave them 135.
Yeah.
Woo!
I feel like all their games have kind of gone that way.
That was not them last year.
Most at all.
You'd lock up.
Yes.
Mm.
Like, they gave up 111 to the Hawks. They gave up 110 to the Bulls. They gave up 136 to the 76ers. And they gave up 135 last night.
What, then they not one of the best defensive teams in the league last year?
They were certainly had to be one of the top two.
Yeah, that's what he preaches.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't know if it's like just a Bane in, KCP out.
You can't just put it on Bane, but he certainly ain't helping that.
Yeah.
That's what you know.
They philosophically shifted because they wanted to adapt to the modern. Like, people talk about the Orlando Magic after they acquired Desmond Bane as an Eastern Conference contender. And there is nothing about this team right now that looks like that. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that they can't figure it out over the course of a season. Like, the talent is there with Paolo and Wagner and obviously Desmond Bane, but I'm not putting them in the category of, well, you got to watch them because it might help the Grizzlies pick or whatever, but...
Yeah, they were second last year. They're 23rd this year.
Yeah, it's been a significant drop-off.
Second to only OKC.
Is that something that you can fix now?
Ooh.
Or is that just what it is?
Identified something here.
I think that's what they are now, and they're going to have to outscore teams.
Interesting.
And I'm not sure that they, even with Bam, I'm not sure they can do that. But it was so if you take all that put together last night, Magic lose, Sun lose, and then you beat the Suns, it was a great night. It was a great
Absolutely.
Night for the Memphis Grizzlies, and John Morant answers the call once again. We're going to talk to Trista Crick on the other side about all of this, get her thoughts on the Grizzlies, John Morant, the Lakers, with Austin Reeves running the show now. There's a lot to get to. Trista's going to join us on the other side. J&J, 99.5 ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Trista Crick is the man. NBA and WNBA analyst at NBC Sports, co-founder of one of my absolute favorite ventures ever, The Daily Dub, and she joins us now. Hello, Trista.
Hey, how's it going?
You tell me. I mean, I come to you. I come to you for, you know, how do I need to feel? I mean, you influence me. So you tell me how it's going.
Well, listen, I put out, and I know this is one of the reasons I'm on today, okay? So I know this is one of the reasons you asked if I would come on, is I put together a 5 NBA players we must trade now, ASAP. And one of those players on this list, the 5th one, and to be honest, the 5th one was a bit of a crapshoot. It could have been Devin Booker. It could have been Trae Young. But for maximum impact, Ja Morant was the 5th person on this list. And Anthony Davis was also on the list. And so you should be happy that I didn't curse and besmirch Ja Morant or have at least the level of energy that I have towards AD, because as soon as AD got put on that list, he might have gone down with a season-ending Achilles, which after I put Ja Morant on the list, he hits a game winner against the Suns. So that's how you guys should know how I feel about the Grizzlies and Ja, which is like I only want good things.
No,
for you guys.
I believe that 100%. And obviously the people who were in the audience, this will be a little inside baseball for them. But part you're the meta queen. You're a content killer. Like, and part of doing that is saying and making, you know, videos that are controversial. I mean, you know, if you sit here and say, yeah, well, you know, I don't know if the Grizzlies should trade Ja Morant. I mean, he's pretty important. You know, that's not really going to move the meter. It's not going to move the needle. But do you actually think that Ja Morant, like how much of that do you feel is actually valid in that? And regardless of last night, I mean, that's one game. Like, do you think the Grizzlies should be in a mind frame someday, soon, whatever, of possibly putting him on the block, and why?
I think that when I think about roster construction, it's kind of like a complex set of factors that you look at, right? I also think the Suns need to move on from Devin Booker, and it's not because I think Devin Booker isn't the kind of guy that is going to lead into a cornerstone and, like, you want to have him as the face of your franchise. I don't think that. I think that's actually the opposite. I think Devin Booker is the only thing that the Phoenix can have to use as a thing to put on a player to put on the market that will actually yield back enough where that franchise can get out of where they are. So the same sort of applies for Ja. And I look at Memphis, and this is the team we all thought would become what we saw Oklahoma City become, right? Young, athletic, a ton of draft picks, drafting really well, a bunch of different guys that they've found out of nowhere, like Desmond Bane. And so then some of those players slowly but surely start to go away, like the Desmond Bane trade. The injuries continue to pile up. And so a lot of the optimism that I had for this team in its current construction is kind of starting to make me wonder a little bit whether there needs to be a tweak or a rebuild. Now, if you think about what it would take to rebuild a team and get multiple pieces and also picks, at this point, I believe Ja is the only real trade piece that could yield anything close to what you would need to do that in a short period of time back. And for Ja's sake, I think, and maybe he doesn't feel this way, because Devin Booker certainly doesn't feel this way, that maybe going to a place where a lot of the friction and stories and baggage that has happened over the last few years and injuries can just have a fresh start. So I would say like a 5 out of 10, and I don't think it has to happen right now, but as soon as you know as a franchise that you need to rebuild, you should move on from your most prized possession as soon as possible. Otherwise, that player will put you in a situation like Dame did for Portland, or we've seen for other marquee stars, where you get pennies on the dollar for him. And I don't think Memphis should ever be in a situation where you get pennies on the dollar for a guy as impactful and electric as Ja.
I hear the case. I think small market has to factor in too, though, right, Trista? And we
talk, yes.
we say box office and us small market teams, when we get a chance at a guy like him. And here's the other thing. I mean, I know New Orleans at one point moved off Anthony Davis, right? And hoping that it was going to represent kind of what you're saying Ja could for us. And you look at them, and you can blame the front office folks in New Orleans. But it has not gone well. It certainly hasn't been what it could have been. And so, and there'd be no promise of that. But I just, that would be my concern, Trista. If you do that, you trade box office out of here in a small market. Well, especially if you don't hit on those picks and everything else.
Yeah.
Man, it could really go in the crapper. You know, you may not get this opportunity again to have this level of superstar. I realize Ja's got to stay out there, right, to get there, to be a face, a true face again. But Memphis may never get this opportunity again to have a guy like him.
Yeah, and I 100% agree. The other thing that goes into it, exactly what you're saying, Jason, is not just small market, but profitability. Mm-hmm. And nobody is going to move the needle in terms of putting butts in the seats like Ja. So if you say, all right, well, maybe we won't ever be able to, like, go to a Western Conference Finals or the Finals with this roster constructed, but at least the fans get to enjoy Ja to a degree, like, even if the Mavs were never going to go back to the Finals with Luka, at least you know that's our guy. He's going to get a statue. He's the guy that we root for. He's the guy that the kids have the jerseys for. Then, yeah, sure. I mean, I was only thinking about it from the perspective of a team that's trying to win. But from, like, a fan perspective, I would never want Ja to be traded, ever.
Yeah, we don't either. Now, one person that I think should be traded is Giannis. I have absolutely no idea what the Milwaukee Bucks are doing. I do. They've convinced themselves that they have a chance with Giannis. They don't. But they've convinced themselves that as long as we have Giannis, it's not totally unlike what the Grizz are doing, except the Grizz roster is better than Milwaukee. Like, Milwaukee's trotting out Ryan Rollins and A.J. Green. Like, it's embarrassing, quite honestly, that he's still there. Like, is that what's happening in Milwaukee and why they haven't traded him? Because they have convinced themselves if we have, you know, 34 on the court, then we're going to be a factor in the East?
Yeah, I think so. I said this also yesterday, too, which is, like, Giannis is a really interesting player because he's dominant and unstoppable and yet one of the hardest guys to pair with other stars because he just doesn't ever really want to get the ball out of his hand. And so, honestly, if you're Milwaukee, you're saying, okay, Giannis plays best with guys who can shoot the three ball, can play complimentary basketball, can at least spell him when he's out. Like, you're getting, like, Ryan Rollins actually might be a player. Like, I think we saw a couple of nights ago against the Knicks. He really gave them some really good minutes. But I don't know if that's an aberration or if that's something that we can expect moving forward, but he looks actually like a nice piece for them. Gary Trent Jr. is playing well. I think for Giannis, you actually need role players next to him that have no ego and do not expect the ball on a night-to-night basis with consistency or usage and can just basically fill in the gaps for Giannis. So I actually think Milwaukee could be like a 5 seed, 6 seed. But I think if you're looking at how Milwaukee sees it, is that this is like the perfect type of team for Giannis because it clearly didn't work with him and Dame. And some people can say that that's just because they were both injured in the playoffs and this is the highest scoring duo when they were both on the court together in the NBA. But we know what we saw with our two eyes, right? Like, we saw a very clunky, you go, I go, you go, who's taking the ball and scoring in clutch time? We don't know. And they both are sort of trying to defer, but Giannis really doesn't want to defer. And Giannis wants to be the fulcrum of the offense, and he wants to be the offensive engine. And that's what's worked for him. And that's why Jrue Holiday was a perfect piece and why Chris Middleton was a perfect piece. And I think Miles Turner has turned into a really good piece. So I think it's kind of wait and see. And maybe at the trade deadline, if they're sitting there, you know, in the 3 seed, then you say, well, maybe we have a shot in a Eastern Conference that's extremely vulnerable and every single team has warts. And maybe this is our one shot to get back to the finals.
Tell me about your plan to trade AD and rebuild the Lakers.
The Mavs? I think for AD, you say, well, I mean, now it's kind of done. If his Achilles is busted, then that plan is done. The Mavs have no picks, right? They traded a bunch of them for Gafford and for PJ and You've got now Cooper Flagg there, who's the next man up. You're still in a dead year because Kyrie Irving is not coming back this year. And so you say to yourself, like, the championship window is supposed to be 3 years. Last year was year one. This is year two. Clearly year two, you're going to be the worst offense in the league. You're putting Cooper Flagg as the point guard. That doesn't make any sense to me. D'Angelo Russell, you have no faith or trust in. Again, it's one of those situations, if AD is fully healthy, you're going to get something for him, something really good, maybe multiple picks. If you say, I think Golden State's kind of the piece or the team that has a bunch of picks to give away and they think they're one player away from being a real contender. They might think they're a contender now, but I think, truthfully, we all know that's not true because they're so freaking old. But say AD was to be the 5-4 combo for the Warriors, now you get like 2-3 first-round picks for a team that's aging in 2030 where you're like, oh, well, maybe this is actually going to supplement us for a rebuild where we're not going to have our own picks moving forward. And if we're bad, we're just really, really bad, and there's nothing we can do.
Yeah, I'm talking to Trista Crick from NBA and WNBA analyst with NBC Sports. Ooh. I know. I don't know what's going on with me. Catch her on the Daily W as well. Austin Reeves. What? Is he him? I mean, is Austin Reeves? You know, everybody thought that Luka Doncic was going to be the reason why the LeBron era ended in LA. But is it really because they're handing the team to Austin Reeves?
Well, I think they're sort of figuring out that we need to decide if Austin Reeves is worth the money or not, too, right? He's in a contract year. He's going to get paid a lot of money. I saw the J.J. Redick took him to the side in the off season and was like, hey, you're not an undrafted guy anymore that you can just, like, live off of that and be the unexpected guy with the chip on his shoulder that we just basically – have no expectations for, right? Now you're a guy for us. And so I think he's seeing that and has sort of turned into a Timu, like a Timu version of Luka, right? Like a guy who you can't really rely on for defense, but honestly is a really important piece when you've got two stars who just simply cannot stay healthy. LeBron, obviously, for age reasons, and Luka, I just don't know. He's obviously lost the weight, and he's still now dealing with something that's going to keep him out a couple of weeks in the beginning of the season. So I think that helps him this year at least stay afloat in terms of scoring. But what does that mean for the Lakers long term? Because you're not going to probably pay Austin Reeves what he wants to get paid, which is $35, $40 mm-hmm. million. Dollars.
I got one. Austin Sanity. That's what we're... That's what we're watching right now. Austin Sanity. Should I trademark that? You're going to use it in a medical.
I love it.
You're going to use it in a thread. You're going to use this in an Instagram. And I give you permission. But, it's like this is like what Jeremy Lin was doing for 2 weeks with the Knicks. This is exactly it. And, I'm pretty sure he parlayed that into, like, a bunch of money, too. And he was never the same ever again. But he had that 2 weeks that took over New York.
Remember Talen Horton Tucker? This is a very, like a much lesser degree. But Talen Horton Tucker was untouchable for the Lakers. Yep. They were so certain he was going to be the wing of the future. And this man is, I don't even know where he is or what he's doing. I think he's overseas right now playing in China. So it just goes to show you can have a nice few weeks, get paid, go somewhere, and really disappear into nothingness very fast.
Your Blazers do look for real. We must revisit this. They're 3-2. They're in the thick of things. How much of this is the fired coach bump, Trista?
I don't think it is. I really don't. I think what it is probably an upgrade from an X's and O's perspective. Let's be honest, okay? Can we be, now that Chauncey's no longer the head coach of this team and probably never will be again, Chauncey Billups was a team player's coach, right? Mm-hmm. He was a guy that could instill confidence. He was the Eric Thomas. He was the Tony, whatever his name is, the inspirational leader for a team. The happy-go-lucky, I'm going to give you more belief in yourself than you've ever had. But from an X's and O's spot, Chauncey Billups wasn't that great. and I don't think anybody thought he was great. And I think people were pretty surprised that he got an extension, and I think that was a testament to what he did off the court with players to help them develop. And now, I wasn't around, and I don't know what those things were, but he was elite at that. But in terms of, like, game-to-game management, outside of just play hard and play fast, I don't know that he was really that good at all. And I think Thiago Splitter, coming from the head coach in the EuroLeague last year, being a Pop disciple and being very well respected as one of the next minds up, I really like him. And I think he's going to sort of tweak this team and take them to a next level. And he's a killer. I heard him speak on Friday, and he's a kind of guy who, under the radar, wants to put his boot on their opponent's neck. And you saw that in the Utah game last night, where they're down 10, and all of a sudden they just go on a scoring frenzy and they do not let up. This team is very fast, very athletic, and very young. And for some reason, Drew Holiday and Jerami Grant are on board with that at their old ages. And they are playing at the best level that we've seen in a couple of years from them, too. So I actually think, like, so many people said, well, why would you put Drew Holiday on this team? Why would you keep Jerami Grant? It's because they can get you 25 night or 22 night to night to night to night when Shaedon Sharpe is giving you ups and downs or Denny's giving you ups and downs. They're the consistent scorers on a team with a bunch of young guys.
Yep.
And then you're saying, oh, man, they just scored 130 again.
Yeah.
Number six on defense.
Yep. One of the points that I made earlier this week about this Thunder team is that when the Celtics won, you know, they won 64, 65 games or whatever they wound up winning, and they finally got the championship in 24 over the Mavs. It felt like they came back the next year, last year, and they just kind of exhaled. They're like, whew, finally we did that. And they just weren't – I mean, they were good, but they didn't have that same, like killer mentality, it felt like, in the regular season, and they ultimately, you know, didn't come close to going back-to-back. The Thunder feel different. The Thunder, watching them, feel like, you know, they're 5-0 again. I know they're banged up. Chet Holmgren's out tonight, but it hasn't really seemed to matter. They look like a team that is absolutely still as engaged as they were a year ago, even after winning the championship, which makes me feel like, Trista, this could be – it's been a while since we've even used this word in this NBA, but dynasty. It feels like they could be on the precipice of that. Is that what you see watching them?
Yeah, I do. I think what you see that's different from the Thunder is that they won the title as they peaked, and the Boston Celtics did not. They remember, we saw early on, kind of in the same timeline as the Thunder, that the Celtics had a bunch of postseason success, but just couldn't really get over the hump. A bunch of Eastern Conference Finals appearances, and Tatum looked like he was the next MVP-like player. And then it felt like they came up short so many times in such disastrous fashions that it was like almost creating an anxiety where they felt, we have to win. We have all the pieces. Why haven't we won yet? And so they were sort of bracing for impact. And I think that happened in the Warriors series too, in the finals, where they should have won that series. And when they ended up winning it, you're right, they exhaled because I think they knew that the expectations were starting to mount and that they weren't living up to those. The Thunder, even last year, when they won, you know, high 60s, 68 games last year, most people were like, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, like the Thunder aren't scaring anybody. And that was a big, big mistake to say. So they won the title before any of those expectations really mounted from the outside. And now they're like, okay, we think we can do this again. And people believe they're for real, but they still have doubters. That half-court offense still looks clunky at times. It, you know, Denver took them 7 games. So I think they're wanting to show that they can build on this. And to do it and to be undefeated when Chet is banged up, when Jalen Williams is out for a while with the wrist surgery that he had, it shows that, okay, like, we can do this in a variety of different ways. And remember, last year, Hartenstein wasn't out in the beginning of the season, and then Chet wasn't in, and they hadn't played together until like a third into the season, almost the All-Star break, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, I think that there's even more for the Thunder to prove And they're so deep. Like, A.J. Mitchell is ridiculous. Where'd this kid come from? He's making like $3 million a year for the next 4 years or something like that. And he is an absolute bucket. So, yeah, I think the Thunder are just
They have more, and they're going to continue
to give you more.
Yep.
It's early, but is there a team you've been most disappointed in? John and I were kind of discussing, we're trying to figure out if this is real, if this is what's going to be with Orlando, which is second best in terms of defensive rating last year. This year they're not defending, and you just wonder, as John put it, can you fix that? They're kind of all in, having traded for Desmond Bane. Is it Orlando? Is there a team that's disappointed you the most?
That's a good one, because we saw, a lot of people thought, maybe you guys didn't, that Desmond Bane was just going to step in and his offensive prowess was going to be the thing that made them a balanced team, and that they were already just going to add to this elite defense, but they were going to be able to score over 85 points now. And that just feels like it hasn't really materialized. Yep. I think the Hawks had a lot of expectations as well.
Oh, yes.
And they just haven't really been what I hoped that they would start out to be. So I think it's both of those teams in the East for me that I thought would be sitting atop the East, and they really still are not struggling, but like not really exactly what I expected in a bad way.
Is it time to trade Trey?
That was going to be the fifth one. That was going to be the fifth one instead of Jaw. But I beat up on Trey so much. And honestly, I don't think Trey's nearly as important or as valuable as an asset as someone like Jaw is. You're going to get pennies on the dollar for Trey.
But and he also doesn't. Jaw is it's like, in terms of if we're talking about like engagement, Jaw gets elite engagement online versus
so Trey.
There's
really? A lot of people who ride for Trey, and a lot of people who hate Trey. He's a very volatile, controversial player.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Before we get you out of here, I want to say publicly what I told you privately, which is that if any of our audience is interested in women's sports and WNBA, you have to absolutely go follow the Daily W on Instagram. What you are doing, and YouTube, what you are doing is so important. It's so good. I have truly 30,000 followers now, Trista, on Instagram.
30,000 since pretty much April 15th.
You just started this. You launched it from nothing, from ground zero, you and your partner.
You guys were one of the first people I told it about publicly on the show.
Yes, and to see it grow and to see it become what it is and where it's going, this is only the beginning. I just know that for a fact. I can't wait for this to explode, and then you sell it and become extremely rich. So congratulations. I love what you're doing, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
And then I'll buy courtside tickets to watch Ja Morant play for the San Antonio Spurs.
No, you will not.
No. To Memphis.
That's fine. You know what? As long as they're willing to send back Wemby, that's fine. We'll do that deal. You're the best.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Love y'all. Talk to you soon.
She is Trista Crick from NBC Sports, Daily W. I give her credit. She kind of doubled down on it. She ain't really running from it. But I just feel like, yes, like you talked about, the small market factor is just such a, if they could get a superstar tomorrow, like a New York Knicks or a Lakers, that'd be one thing. But, this is one where you have to, make it work, man. You just got to make it work for the kids.
Yes, you do.
It is working. This isn't we don't have to talk ourselves into it. He's hitting game winners. Looks great. He looks fantastic. He's playing. This is all good. So I don't think it's ever been like a job versus the organization kind of thing. I think it's kind of just been job versus job, decisions he's made off the court and injuries and things like that. So, if it's all good, I think it's all good. So, appreciate Trista for joining us on the show. We'll come back with the rundown. We got NFL action tonight. The return of the great Lamar Jackson. We will talk about that and more on the other side. J&J, 92.5 ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.